For me to bring the evening service. For those that don't know me, I'm Brother Michael Jackson. I get that reaction all the time. And originally from South Carolina, Church of Christ on Highway 76, Florence, South Carolina. And had the great opportunity of coming down here and being upon the leadership that we have here at Longwood Church of Christ. So I'm very forever grateful. And what I want to do is I want to make sure that I continue to grow in the Word of God and continue to bring lessons at the evening service that can apply to everyone's lives on a day-to-day basis. And I try not to worry your patience too long. I've been studying this certain subject, and I had a lot of emotions with it because I want to convey the message, but I just want to make sure that I stick to the Word of God and read through passion. And not get too emotional like I did the last time, I think, in my opinion. And through great advice, one of the brethren told me to stick with the basic as a young brother, to bring the Word of God, just stick with the basic subjects. But this certain subject right here, I just can't let it go. It's like Jeremiah says, like fire shut up in your bones. I want to make sure I convey the message out. And so I want to make sure I do the very best I can today. And y'all just thank you for being here. And I ask that you guys be attentive and try to get the most you can today. But the topic of the subject is going to be the beast, the beast. In my prior subjects, I was talking about the mother of harlots. Found in Revelations chapter 17, and now later in that chapter it talks about the beast. And I'd like to give you guys an illustration to kind of catch you up to date. I'm not the best artist by no means, so bear with this as well. But in Revelation 17 it talks about how Satan, the father of lies, which Jesus called him, when he was talking to the Pharisees, he said, "You do err and you act like your father." And he was a liar from the beginning. And how Satan gave the mother of harlots, which we found out was the Roman Empire at that time, the Catholic Church, the power to provoke his will. Now, later in that chapter, it talks about the beast. But we just want to be mindful, when those two collide, these are the children of disobedience. These are ultimately going to be the lost ones in eternal damnation. Just like Satan has a marriage going on right here with the mother of harlots, we know, being part of the Church of Christ, that we are Christ's bride, which is the Church of Christ. So even if Satan tried to emulate what's going to be everlasting, the children of obedience, it would never last. Because Christ is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And he will soon spite him down, the father of lies, like the brother said in his prayer. So it's important that we know through this illustration that one day, like the brother said in his prayer, that a marriage is going to happen. And Jesus is going to come back and get his bride, the church, the saved ones, eternal lifers. But the beast is going to have variations, because we all know the truth can be told one time, but the lies has to be perpetuated, and it has to come in different forms. So with this illustration, I like to convey this message over, but we're going to start in Daniel chapter 2. Going to the text in Daniel chapter 2, and I know Brother Dennis has been going over the book of Daniel and his lessons, so it's definitely going to coincide what he's already been relaying over to us. Definitely want to coincide with his lessons as well. But we're going to read the whole chapter of Daniel chapter 2, and I consider Daniel the revelations of the Old Testament. It's so prophetic. It's a lot of things. Daniel was ahead of his time with wisdom. And we're going to read about it right now. And it reads the following. And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreams, wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep break from him. So let's go back and let's understand the historical setting. You know, at this time, the Israelites, They were stiff-necked people, God called them. You know, they had a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. And some had the knowledge, but they just didn't have the wisdom to apply their knowledge. You know, so what they did was they fought against God's word by the influence of other countries. And they served other gods such as Baal and all the ones that we read in the Old Testament when they had the truth with them at all times. But I directly relate that to what our situation today in society. You know, we don't have the prophets and we don't have the priests of the Levitical tribe, but we do have the Word of God, and we can dive into the Word of God at any time and hear the old stories as our schoolmaster and hear grace and truth unto Christ. So we can't be like those stiff-necked Israelites back in the Old Testament. But as I digress, because of their disobedience with God, they were carried off in captivity, and I believe the northern kingdom was sent to Babylon, the king Nebuchadnezzar. And this is where chapter 2 it starts. In verses 2 it says, "The king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dreams. So they came and they stood before the king. And the king said unto him, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac," because it was in the country of Syria, that's the language. "O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation." The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, "The thing is gone from me. If you will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut into pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill." So even Nebuchadnezzar, being part of the untruth, he could tell when folks were fabricating and lying to him. So he wanted to get to the bottom of this dream, and he wanted someone to give him clarity and someone to tell him the truth. So he gave them a catch-22, if you will. You know, if you can't tell me the dream, then you and your family will be cut into pieces. But yet, they didn't have that power, because that power come from God. So they began to go back and forth with the king, and it reads as following in verses 6. "But if you show the dream and the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive of my gifts, of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore show me the dream and interpretation thereof." They answered again and said, "Let the king tell his servants the dream, and we shall show the interpretation of it." The king answered and said, "I know a certainty that ye would gain the time, because ye see the things is gone from me. But if you will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree. For you have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me till the time is changed. Therefore tell me the dream, and I shall know that ye can show me the interpretation thereof." So even him being part of the system, he knew that they were lying to him, or going to perpetuate a lie. Verses 10, it reads the following. "The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other that can show it before the king, except the gods who dwell is not with flesh." However, we're going to see that only God revealed these matters. And we're going to see that Daniel, a young prophet, had enough faith that God will reveal these matters. And it reads as following, verses 12. "For this cause the king was angry and very furious, and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And decree went forth that the wise men should be slain. And they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was going forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch, the king, known to Daniel, then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time. and that he would show the king the interpretation. So there you have it. Daniel was a man of faith. You know, Hebrews verses 11 and 1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen. So Daniel knew that he didn't have the answer, but he knew God had an answer. And if a man has a question, he should definitely ask God. So he wanted to get with his brethren, which same thing we should do today when we have an issue. And he got with his three young brethren, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they prayed upon this matter. And it reads as following. Then Daniel went in and desired for the king that he would give him time. Excuse me. I already read that. 17. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known unto Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, which was their Babylonian names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Verses 8 says that they would desire mercies of God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. And it reads as following. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom, might are his. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings, and giveth wisdom unto the wise, and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and the secret things. He know what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might, and has made known unto me now what we desire for thee, for thou hast now made known unto the king's matter. And church, we have that same opportunity to go into God and make our request known, just as Daniel did, because we have the advocator, which is Jesus Christ. So I definitely want you all to take that from this passage. I know it's a lengthy passage, and I'm going to get to my points in a minute. In verses 22, it says, he revealed, 24. Therefore, Daniel went into Arioch, whom the kings had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said unto him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste, and said thou unto him, I have found a man of captives of Judah, so it was Judah, that will make known unto the king the interpretation. Now, this is where we're going to get into the thick of things here, where Daniel interprets his dream that was revealed by God. And again, one thing I want to make notice is verses 21. Daniel said something very key. He said that God changes times, he changes seasons, and he gives to the wise, and he set it up kings, and he bring kings down. And one thing I want to relate that to is what's going on in the world today. You know, I probably was about 100,000 people just looking at the news interrupting a man at his political debate. Now, how many of those people can we get in the church service? Can we get 100 in here? But the world is worried about politics, what God handles. God is going to handle that. We need to put our faith in our Lord, put our trust in our Lord and not in any man. So we can't be worried about what the world is doing. We of the church, we got to stay in the word. Daniel stayed in the word. The others, they were worried about the world. They were worried about bringing astrology into the equation and all these other things that don't concern God. And if they didn't have Daniel at that time, they wouldn't have been saved. Well, I can't say saved. They wouldn't have been allowed to be alive. So continue reading. It's going to get very into the thick of things in 1 second here. Verses 26, it says, the king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar in Chaldean terms, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king have demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, and the soothsayers show unto the king? But there is a God in heaven that reveals secrets and make it known to King Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy hand upon the bed are these. So again, Daniel is very, very prophetic. He's a prophet, and he talks in terms of things that's going to happen to the pinpoint. Brother Dennis broke down one sermon in the future. So we definitely want to take notice of what's going to happen in this text right now. Starting again with verses 29. And as for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed, what should come to pass hereafter. And he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. Thou, O king, sawest and behold a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image head was of fine gold. Now, this text compels me to turn into an artist again, so y'all bear with me, because I'm definitely not an artist. I use my hand. So it said a head of gold, right? And we're going to find out who these people are and what time frame they reigned. Then back to the text. It said his breasts and his arms of silver. So his breast, that's the head, everyone. His breast plate and arms of silver. So we're going to find who that is and what time frame they reign. His belly and his thighs are brass. His belly and thighs of brass. His legs of iron. And the feet of iron and mingled clay. So in this beautiful illustration, I'm going to break down who they're actually talking about. So the head of gold was the leaders at this point of time, the Babylonian Empire. And the Babylonian Empire reigned, I hope I spelled that correctly, from 604 to 539 BC, talking about 600 years before Christ came on the scene physically. And the breasts and arms are silver. So it's two of those, breasts and arms of silver, representing the Medo-Persia Empire. And they reigned from 539 BC to 331. And how they began to get their reign, and Brother Dennis broke it down one Sunday, Nebuchadnezzar's grandson got cute with the gold of the Israelites. Of the Lord, and he began to have a party with it. And on that same day, he was invaded by the Greeks, if I'm not mistaken. So the Greek Empire, or I have it backwards, excuse me, the Babylonian, was taken over by the Medo-Persians in that same day. Now, the Greek Empire ruled after the Medo-Persian from 331 B.C., Alexander the Great, to approximately 197 BC. Just giving you guys a historical setting of how prophetic Daniel was way back before Christ came on the scene. And the legs of iron is the Roman Empire from 197 BC to approximately 476 AD when the Roman Empire was overthrown. And these feet, is the beast, which we will talk about in a second. Now, going back to my text, they're going to explain all these things. Verses 33. His legs of iron, his feet part of iron and a part of clay. Thou sawest till a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and break them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, the gold, the broken pieces together, became like the shaft of the summer threshing floor, and the wind carried them away. No place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream which we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. So the last part of that is saying that a rock smote the feet and got rid of this empire that we're going to talk about later. Now, In verses 37, thou king art a king of kings, for the God of heaven have given thee a kingdom, power, and strength and glory. This is Daniel talking to Nebuchadnezzar. And whosoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven have given unto thee thy hand, and have made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. So he's telling them what I just told you all. He's breaking the vision down to them. And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, which was the Medo-Persian, which shall bear the rule over the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things. And as iron that breaketh all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. Whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of a potter's clay, and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. But there shall be in it of strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. So it's talking about that division. Y'all keep that in mind. Division of the iron and the clay, because we're going to get to that later. And as the toes of the feet were part of the iron and part of the clay, so shall the kingdom be parted, broken. So shall the kingdom be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, that shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. But they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in these days, in these days of these kings, shall the God of heaven set another kingdom, which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms. It shall stand forever. And the only kingdom that we know is going to stand forever is the kingdom of God through Christ Jesus. And that's what Daniel is relaying to Nebuchadnezzar in verses 44. In verses 45 it says, for as much as thou sawest that stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron and the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. And it surely was. All these things happened, and it did come to pass. But who is the beast? I'm glad you asked. They're explaining the beast right now, but we're going to get in depth when we go to Revelation chapter 17. And that's going to explain the beast a little more thoroughly. But the truth is profound, as we can see here, church. And it was so profound that Nebuchadnezzar began to believe in God more and more just from how Daniel portrayed himself and his faith in God. And I directly relate that to us. You know, a lot of people don't know what the Church of Christ is or who the Church of Christ is, not unless it comes through us. So we should have unwavering faith, just like Daniel has, so that we can show ourselves accordingly to Christ. But I want to finish reading the chapter so you can see how Nebuchadnezzar began to recognize the truth and believe more and more on the God of Daniel. Then the king of Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshiped Daniel and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. The king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth, it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal this secret. Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and the chief governors over all the wise men of Babylon. And I just want to take that a moment to just expound on this. I mean, this guy's a slave. But one thing my grandmother always told me, manners will take you farther than money. He had the manners and he had the wherewithal to follow God's word. And whenever you follow God's word, it's going to show. And Daniel was promoted to, I believe, if I don't want to misquote it, but I think he was like the third highest in the whole country as far as provision. And he had, his story was similar to Joseph's in Egypt. But at the same time, we just need to take note that if we follow God's word, everything will happen in our favor. Matthew 6:33 tells us that if we put Christ first, then all those other things will come to pass. This man was able to, with his faith, get himself out of a slavery position. And the last verse states this. Then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate at the king. So not only did his faith propel him in a position, but it did so for his friends as well. But this is not the gist of the story. The gist is discovering who the beast is. That's the subject matter that we're going over today. And what best describes that is back to one of my favorite chapters of Revelation, Revelation chapter 17. And I'm going to read a good bit of this, but I won't worry your patience too long. But it's important that you know the setting of the tone here. So Revelation chapter 17 verses 5, I'll start reading and read through the remainder of the chapter. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abomination of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Now, even though they call this mystery woman the mother of harlots, Babylon, we know that this is not Babylon that Daniel was speaking of in chapter 2, because this was during the time right after the time Jesus was crucified, and John was in the island of Patmos, I think it was approximately 90 A.D., and during that time, Rome was reigning supremely. So we know they're talking about the Roman Empire, and they're talking about the martyrs of Jesus, and the Babylonians didn't know Jesus. So we know we're talking about the Roman Empire here. In verses 7 it says, And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and the beast that carries her, which have the 7 heads and 10 horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and go into perdition. And they that dwell on earth shall wonder whose names were written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. And here is the mind which have wisdom. This is John getting revelation. The 7 heads are the 7 mountains on which the woman sitteth. And there are 7 kings. 5 are fallen, who they believed the five were falling was the Egyptian kingdom, the Assyrian kingdom, the Babylonian kingdom, the Medo-Persian, and the Greek at that time. One is, which the sixth was Roman, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seventh, go into perdition. So this seventh beast is who I'm looking to answer the question of today, is the Roman Empire Revisited, which they call the Holy Roman Empire. And this consummated on 800 AD, and it's going to last until the second coming of Christ. The Holy Roman Empire initiated when Pope Leo crowned Charlemagne. We all know Charlemagne, king. Now, this was the implementation of church and state. Before then, church handled church affairs and the state handled state affairs. But this was the tying in of religion and politics. It was also the tying in of a religious leader and a political leader ruling by committee. Hence Pope Leo and hence Charlemagne. One was religious and one was political. And this goes right back to what we were saying with the iron and the clay that's found in Daniel chapter 2. That's the iron and the clay mixed together. Now, in Revelation chapter 17, verses 11, it says, which we are in, I'm still going over that the beast was Roman Empire, it is not, and even he is the eighth. So the eighth is still a product of these two. The all relation is still perpetuating itself. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which receive no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. So they all tie in with each other. They're perpetuating different lies that they're giving the world and control that they're giving to the world. And verses 13 says this, these have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto that beast. So the 10 toes that were found in Daniel chapter 2 represents the 10 kings that's found in Revelation chapter 17. And these 10 are country alliance as well with one mind. They're a nation and they support the Antichrist. And verses 14 is reminiscent to a verse back in Daniel chapter 2. And it reads as following. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and kings of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. So that's the pocket that we need to be in. We need to be the bride, the church of Christ, because we are going to overcome in the end. It doesn't matter what scheme they devise, how many players they have according to their game. If we stay in the word of God and stay in the church, then we're going to make it in the end. Verses 15 says, and if he saith unto me, and he saith unto me, John speaking, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. So evidently, this beast has to be a worldwide leader, has to have a lot of influence. A lot of people are under their regime. And it reads as following, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn with fire. For God hath put in the hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. Church, verse 17 is happening right before our eyes. After World War II, history will let you know that Europe was in bad shape because most of the war was fought over there. And Winston Churchill and a couple of the other prime ministers or kings or what have you in Europe, they had to get together so that Europe can still remain a political power in the world. So in 1957, they wrote the Treaty of Rome. They got together. 1992, after the Berlin Wall dropped, it was the Maastricht Treaty. And that's when 27 nations of Europe came together to form the European Union. And that soon became the number one economic power of the world. And we all know that the euro is more than a dollar now. And that European Union is very ever-present of the new Holy Roman Empire, is very ever-present of the beast, the worldwide influencer that they're speaking of in Revelation chapter 17. But, you know, one would say, well, we don't know that much about this, but behind closed doors, they've been getting a lot done. This nation, they already have a flag. It's a flag of Mary with 12 stars. They have a periodical paper, which is called Charlemagne's paper, Charlemagne. And a picture of Charlemagne is in their headquarters. So that lets you know that it's perpetuating the Holy Roman Empire. The word of God is being fulfilled as it was written in verses 17. And on November the 3rd, 2009, Ireland and Czech, I always mispronounce that country, Czech Republic were the last ones to sign in into the European Union. So just like that verse said, it's giving their strength to the beast. Gave their strength to the beast. And that beast is going to be very strong. And God could have saw fit to go through the Egyptians. Like I said last time, you know, Egyptian worldwide influence was 2,000 years they reigned, but God didn't go through them. Could have went through the Assyrians. He could have went through the Medo-Persians. Could have went through the Babylonians. Could have went through the original Roman Empire. But he sees fit to go through the Holy Roman Empire, a.k.a. the European Union, the beast that's of the world today. So not saying this to bash anyone, but saying that Daniel is very prophetic. Revelation 17 is very prophetic. And we see what's happening in the world today. So if we know what's going on in the world today, then we need to be mindful that we need to have our house in order. Just to conclude, you know, the Bible is the truth. Everything you need to know is written in here. It's the word of God. And right now we need to give that the most earnest heed to the things that we hear, lest at any time we let them slip. And the issues that we are faced with, one of the last scriptures I'm going to read to you all, and one that I have read to you many a times, is found in Ephesians 6. If you want to know what we're fighting against, that the government and the news don't want to tell us, Christ tell us, Paul tell us in the letter to Ephesus, in Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 12. And I'll read that real quickly. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 12. And it reads as following. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. This is not a flesh and blood battle that we think we fight against, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness, against this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's who we're wrestling against. But church, what we need to do is 1 John 2:15, love not this world, not of the things that are in this world, because all the things in this world is going to pass away and all the contents thereof. So we need to, Colossians 3:2, set our affections on things above and not of the things on this earth, because we're seeking for a better country. Something I harp on all the time, and you probably tired of me saying that, but you can find that in Hebrews chapter 11. This world is not our home, like the brother sung to him. We need to be seeking for a better country, because like the brother said in his prayer, Christ is coming soon. 2009 consummated what they consider that beast. So we need a Revelation 2 and 10. We need to stay faithful, and we may receive that crown of life if we endure to the end. But there may be some that have not took it upon themselves to give themselves the pleasure to be a part of the Church of Christ. And for those individuals, I would strongly, vehemently encourage you to hear the Word of God. That's found in Romans 10:17. So then faith come by hearing by the Word of God. Also, you need to believe. You know, there's a lot of scriptures on belief. One I like the best is Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Repent, Luke 13:13. I tell you nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Confess. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 10:32, if you confess Jesus before men, he'll be willing to confess you before the Father. And baptize, be baptized. Acts 2:38, the example Peter gave on the day of Pentecost. So if there's someone that have not obeyed the gospel truth, I definitely encourage you to do that at this time. And if there's someone that just need desire to pray the prayer from the saints, I definitely encourage you to get that prayer as well, because we want to make sure that we stay in the body at all times. But I do thank you for your patience and your time, and I'll put it in the hands of the brothers that selected.